Ramsey TV.
Would you like to live a simple life? Then live and die unto the Lord. Because you only got one person to please instead of 101. Talk about making life simple. I'm going to read a passage to you today from Romans chapter 14. Where Paul mentions the phrase, to the Lord, about five times. This is Martin Zender, and welcome to MZTV. I'm your host. I am Martin Zender. I'm the actual guy. And I did get my air conditioning fixed. For those of you who are concerned about that, thank you very much. It was something that starts with a C. Not the compressor. What was it? I don't know. All I know is that it's fixed. Thank God. And it only cost $30. All right. Let's get on with it. I'm going to read Romans 14, verses 6 through 9. This show is called Living and Dying to the Lord. A subtitle could be, and I'm not even kidding, To Heck With It. To Heck With It. To Heck With It. You're going to find out how that works its way in here. Let's read the passage. He who is disposed to the day. Paul's talking about some people observe days, some people don't observe days. All right. He who is disposed to the day is disposed to it to the Lord, and he who is eating to the Lord, for he is thanking God. And he who is not eating, to the Lord he is not eating, and is thanking God. For not one of us is living to himself. Wow, is that a great verse? And relieving. Not one of us is living to himself, and not one is dying to himself. For both, if we should be living to the Lord, are we living? And if we should be dying to the Lord, are we dying? Then both, if we should be living and if we should be dying, we are the Lord's. For this Christ died and lives, that he should be Lord of the dead as well as of the living. Lord is another title of Christ. It means sanctioner. That's the literal meaning. When the Lord is mentioned, instead of, say, the title Christ, it speaks of how he's over our lives in the nitty-gritty details of our lives. He's here with us. And pleasing him, believe it or not, is easier than pleasing anybody else who has expectations of you. Sometimes we live and die to other people. We live and die according to their expectations of us, according to their opinions of us. And sometimes we live and die according to ourselves. And we're our worst enemies. We beat ourselves up all the time. And the passage I just read to you is the remedy to this, the antidote, is to live and die to the Lord, the one who has sanctioned our lives and the one who is in our lives with us. I've often told you that members of the body of Christ are closer than blood relations, and we are. And the people under discussion in this letter Paul is writing are members of the body of Christ, just as we are members of the body of Christ. And as part of this organization, as a body of people, we live together and we die together. Not literally, but spiritually. So, spiritually speaking, we're stuck. But this is the best kind of stuck that there is, because sometimes I think you and I, let's be honest, we would both manually escape this call sometimes. You just want out due to its difficulty. But this would be a giant mistake, folks. This would be like selling, this is like having 1,000 shares of Microsoft stock and selling it off in 1977. That would be a big mistake. You have to stick with it. God keeps us from doing that, keeps us from giving up, sometimes against our wills, but he changes our wills. God actively is changing our wills all the time, and he uses other people to do it, primarily other members of the body of Christ. I don't know how many people I've written to, and I said, hang in there, or I've said, don't quit. And I know these phrases come across as cliches, but they're not cliches because we're all hanging. We're hanging on to something. We're hanging for a good reason, sometimes by our fingernails, and we're all sometimes tempted to just give it all up, retire to a greener pasture somewhere. But it is love that will keep us together. And this is the strange thing, not necessarily our love for each other, though we do love each other, but the love of God for us. And here's the key Paul mentions here. It is because we are all living and dying to the Lord that we are threaded together. This is ironic because our focus is on the Lord, not on each other. But our love for the Lord spills over and splashes our body of Christ associates. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is our common head. And it's much easier, this is where I said at the beginning, the simplicity of this, it's much easier to pay attention to one than to 101. And the result is, the wonderful result is we're all basically on the same page. We're like musicians in an orchestra. We're following a single conductor. We're living to the Lord. So if we're all, it's just like, yeah, just like an orchestra. The orchestra's looking at the conductor. So we're like musicians in an orchestra. We're just looking at one man. So if we're all watching the same man waving his arms, because if you look at an orchestra, none of the musicians are looking at each other. They're not looking over here. The violinist isn't looking over here. The timpani guy's not looking over here. They're all looking at the conductor. Then whatever rhythm, whatever speed or feeling that man wants, we deliver it. We watch him. The example of our reality is we're watching Christ, and we do it all at the same time. All the orchestra members are doing it at the same time, and we are doing it at the same time as we center and focus on Christ. And we do have peripheral vision, and out of our peripheral vision, we're all pretty much dancing to the same music. Because our eyes are on the same conductor. So, I want you to notice the phrase that is repeated in this wonderful passage of Scripture. The phrase that keeps coming up is, to the Lord. Paul uses it 5 times. Then, to screw home the point, he says, we are the Lord's. The idea, it's not an idea, it's a truth, it's a reality, that I'm pressing on you today, is for us to live to please only one, capital O, and that is the Lord. And this reduces all life to a simplicity. If you think that refusing to eat certain foods is pleasing to the Lord, then do it and be happy. If you think that eating shrimp wrapped in bacon, back in the day, people were afraid to eat certain things because of taboos or meat that was offered to sacrifice, meat that was offered to idol sacrifices. But if you think that refusing meat is pleasing or refusing any food, then do it. You do it to the Lord. On the other hand, if you think that eating shrimp wrapped in bacon and washing it down with whiskey is pleasing to the Lord, because the Lord made the shrimp, the bacon, and the whiskey, then do it and be happy. You do it to the Lord. I sometimes watch porn, and when I do it to the Lord. Some people are not going to like that. I don't live to please those people. I live to please the Lord. I do it unto the Lord, and I don't worry about anybody else's opinion. That's the thing. When it comes to the bottom line, I'm not saying the people I'm about to mention, I'm not saying you don't respect them. But in the end, you don't worry about anybody else's opinion. You don't do these things, eat or not eat, drink or not drink, whatever. You don't do it to your wife or to your husband or to your child. You can do things for them. But I'm saying you don't do things to them. You don't do this to your wife, toward your husband, let's say, or towards your child, towards your Aunt Mary. Because oddly, enough. These people are harder to please than the Lord. Your wife is harder to please than the Lord. Your Aunt Mary is harder to please than the Lord. Your children are harder to please than the Lord. That is a shocking truth. But in Christ, there is freedom. And sometimes we surrender our freedom to do things for our wives, for our children, for our Aunt Mary. That's just the way life is. But you don't do them, these things to them. Whatever you do it to the Lord. And then every now and then, it's your privilege to lay down what you do and what you feel good about to the Lord, and you do things for your wife and for Aunt Mary. Now, what if you're living? Then you live to the Lord. What if you're dying? Then you die to the Lord. These are extremes. Yes, everything that happens to us occurs between these two bookends of living and dying. And this is why Paul lays them out. This is why Paul says, if you're living to the Lord, if you live, live to the Lord. If you're dying, die to the Lord. Because since these are the two extremes, then anything in between there is to the Lord. Paul can't mention everything, so he saves ink. And he just says, if you're living, live to the Lord. If you're dying, die to the Lord. Saves a lot of ink. Breaks it right down to the polars. So Paul, in this amazing passage, has reduced this existence, he did this for us, for our sakes. He reduced this existence to two things. You're either alive or you're dead. If you're alive, do everything to the Lord. Do everything you do while you're alive to the Lord. If you're dying, then dedicate the whole nasty process to the Lord. And then say, to heck with it, and just live to the Lord, to heck with it. That's my phrase. I'm the one saying this. Paul doesn't say it. But for some reason, to heck with it is, to me, an agreeable modern-day substitute for do everything to the Lord. You're saying to heck with everything else, basically. So in my mind, that expression, to heck with it, it makes an announcement, colloquially, that I've given up on trying to please everyone. Someone once said, if you try to live pleasing everyone, you please no one. And I personally, I've released my stranglehold on life and death and everything in between, and I handed it over to the Lord. And again, the Lord is much easier to please than anyone else, which is the surprising thing. Now I want to talk about the life and death of Christ. The Lord lived and he died. He came to earth via Bethlehem, via the uterine wall of a teenage girl, and then he went to the cross. He lived and he died. The Lord let it all hang out. In a way, the Lord said, the heck with it. Don't take that the wrong way. And don't take let it all hang out the wrong way. By this I mean he just lived. And then he just died. In between, he performed miracles on the Sabbath. He ate things that he wasn't supposed to eat. He mingled with people he wasn't supposed to mingle with. He just kind of gave up to his Father's will. And he never bent to political correctness or the social mores of the day. He rejected what the collective would have considered to be expedient because he didn't monitor the collective. He basically said, screw the religious establishment and the prevailing social mores. That's my paraphrase. That's basically what I think he was thinking. Because he was living to one, to God. And he said things that were crazy. Seemed to be crazy to other people. Unless you eat my body, drink my blood, you can have no part of me. A lot of disciples left him after that. A lot of the people said, these sayings are hard and they're radical and they're strange. We're leaving. It didn't fluster him because he was doing it unto God. He was letting it all hang out. That's what I mean by letting it all hang out. But Jesus Christ did all this actively. So I'm not saying that he, by the phrase, let it all hang out or to heck with it, I'm not saying that he sat around doing nothing. He actively gave up. Give up was a verb to him. And I want it to be a verb to us. To heck with it was a verb. the Lord maybe wanted to live his own life, do his own thing, but in the end, he just kind of said the heck with it, and he acquiesced to his father's will, and he died. He threw away his life into his father's arms because the father was so much bigger than he was, and he laid out to him, to his son, a plan, a bigger plan, to which, obviously, his life and death would vitally contribute. So the father's world was kind of messy. God does strange things with people. The prophet Isaiah prophesied naked. God told Hosea to take a wife of prostitution. John the Baptist is eating locusts and honey in the wilderness. Jesus Christ, again, is doing miracles on the Sabbath, which he wasn't supposed to do, eating corn on the Sabbath. He said this, a man wasn't made for the Sabbath, but Sabbath for man. So he hung out. He just let it all hang out. So the Father's world was and is kind of messy. But no one can deny its greatness. Think of this. God made the elephant as well as the daffodil. And wow, what a range. What a range. The daffodil and the elephant. What a range. Do we even live up to our range? Are we living to the Lord? Or are we living to some form of political correctness or the mores of society, whatever fashion is in vogue? I'm not talking about clothes, but I'm talking about behavioral fashions. God couldn't die. So for Christ, it was almost natural to give everything to the Father and say, to heck with it. I'll die. I'll die for the sins of the world. You have to trust the one that you're saying, to heck with it, to. You have to trust that one. To heck with it. I'm just going to give everything to you. Whatever I see you doing, I'm going to do. Whatever I feel comfortable with in you, Lord, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to look around. I'm not going to look at my fellow musicians. I'm going to look at you. And if other of my fellow musicians are also looking at you, then we're going to end up playing from the same sheet of music. And we are. I mean, this is a good attitude, I think. I do live this way. I'm not telling you to do something that I can't do. I wish this attitude on all of us. Because the Lord is, this goes without saying, but I'll say it, he's much bigger than anything else in this life. He's the creator of all. So why not offer everything to him? Why not just offer everything to him? Say, I'm yours. Live to the Lord. If you're living, you live to the Lord. If you're dying, you die to the Lord. Not to Aunt Mary, not to your wife, not to your kids, to the Lord. In addition to that, the Lord is so relaxed now because of everything he went through in this life. Yeah, God had a tough path for him. But he still just gave it up to us. It looked ragged. To the people of his day, it looked ragged. But now, he's relaxed because of everything he went through, the crucifixion, his death, his resurrection, and he made it through everything. He survived. He let it all hang out, and it worked. It's going to work with you. Don't be afraid to live unto the Lord. Don't be afraid. It's going to work out. Jesus said, the heck with it, and he played it out. Played it out, God's plan, and it worked out pretty nicely for him in the end. So now to us, if we have this attitude in place and in play, then we don't need to please anyone other than the Lord or sweat too much over any detail other than offering everything to him as a living sacrifice. Here I am, a living sacrifice. Do with me what you will. Well, right now I want you to watch porn. What? How could that be possible? That's just one example. I use an extreme example just to make a point. If you do this, you live to one instead of 101, things will work out very nicely. Because in your mind, this is why, because in your mind you're doing it to the Lord. You dedicate it to the Lord. If you're eating a chocolate milkshake when you know you shouldn't, and then you decide to drink a chocolate milkshake, I guess, and then when you do drink three chocolate milkshakes, do it as unto the Lord. Just do it as unto the Lord. Huh? To us, it looks like we're coloring outside the lines. And to other people, it might look like we're coloring outside the lines, but we're doing it as unto the Lord. That's the key here. as you're doing it, I'm doing this as unto you, Lord. I'm living. I'm living life. I'm tasting life. I'm going through this crazy time down here. I'm doing the best I can, and I'm doing it unto you. Now, later, yeah, Paul does say to consider others' feelings, but he mentions this only as a matter of politeness and joy in doing it. It's not a forced thing. It's not a matter of selling out one's own soul to another person or losing one's own self-awareness. No, it's certainly not a matter of law. For now, the default setting of your life ought to be this: what pleases the Lord. And the Lord is so easygoing by this time, that is, after all he's done and accomplished, died for the sins of the world, taken away the sins of the world, God has justified us because of that, that you may have a hard time believing. I mean, you may have a hard time believing that the Lord is easygoing. But you won't have a hard time pleasing him because of how easygoing he now is, subsequent to the drama of the cross. The cross changed everything. And because of the cross, you now are free. But few of us live like we're free. We live like we're in all kinds of bondage. We live like we owe other people things constantly, and we live to them. Now, don't mistake me. We don't live to them. We do things for them, but we don't live to them. We live to Christ. He's our enlister. He's the director of this orchestra. And he's the one who died for our sins. Therefore, there's now no condemnation. And so the Lord naturally wants us all to live condemnation-free lives and count on the cross to have taken care of all our mistakes, past, present, and future. Just imagine if we all lived like this. By default, we would all get along better because we would all have the same disposition toward the Lord. See, we would get along by accident, really, because we're concentrating on something other than getting along. We're not concentrating on getting along. We're concentrating on the Lord. But we're looking at the same conductor, and we're playing out of the same sheet music. So the whole thing, this whole wonderful thing of getting along, would start not with our disposition toward one another, but with our disposition toward the Lord. And once that happened, then our contentment in only having to please one would flow over the edges of our lives, and it would splash everybody around us. Everybody would get wet with the happy juice of contentment. And I'll say this to you, getting along better never really happens. Sometimes it does, but never really happens with trying to get along better, but living and dying to the Lord. Living and dying to the Lord. Let's quote the last part of that verse, then I'll finish here. For this Christ died and lives, that he should be Lord of the dead as well as of the living. That's Romans 14:9. Don't let this sentence trip you up. It just confirms everything I've been telling you. For this Christ died and lives. So what did Christ live and die for? For your joy. For your joy of being allowed and even encouraged to say, to heck with it, and throw your life and even your death into the loving and accepting arms of Jesus Christ. And it is for this cause that he is Lord of the dead as well as of the living. It doesn't mean that the dead are living. Now, please pay attention here. We still have the demarcations here mentioned by Paul, dead and living. So how is Christ the Lord of the living? That's easy. If you're living, he is your Lord. But how is he the Lord of the dead? Here's where it's possible to trip. He's the Lord of the dead in that the dead are not forgotten by him. The dead are on hold in that they are dead and not alive. And so it's just like they're asleep. You have loved ones who died. I have loved ones who died. Both my parents are dead. Does it bother Christ when you're asleep? Does he forget about you? When you wake up in the morning, Christ says, oh, I forgot about you. No, of course not. So apply that now to death, because sleep is very much like death. I remind you of Ecclesiastes 9:5. The dead did not know anything. Lucky them. They don't know anything. True, but the Lord knows everything about them. He's got them where he wants them for now. They won't always be dead. He doesn't forget about them. He will resurrect them to life in due time because God is the Savior of all humanity, especially of believers, 1 Timothy 4:10. So, he's their Lord, just as much as he's Lord of the living, even though the dead have no awareness that he's still their Lord. That doesn't change the fact that he is. One's awareness in this matter doesn't matter to Christ, really. He has the awareness because he's alive. That's right. Subsequent to his resurrection, he entered immortality, never to die again. So he's on it. Don't worry about the dead. He's on it. This is why, if you must, you can die in peace. I don't recommend that you die. I don't want you to die, but you can die in peace. If it happens to you, you can just give it up. Give it up. Because you live that way. Why not die that way? Death can be as easy to do unto the Lord as living is. You just trust him either way. You just say, to heck with it. I live to the Lord. I die to the Lord. But to wrap this up, concentrate on Christ first, then upon each other. Try to understand how easy Christ is. That's the radical message of this talk, of this show. MZTV 942. Realize how easy Christ is. He said even to Israelites that his yoke was easy, his burden was light. He said that to the Israelites who are under law. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. If he said that to the Israelites under law, Matthew 11:30, what does he say to us who are under grace? If the yoke is easy and the burden is light for Israelites who still operate, as I said, in the arena of law, then how easy and light is it for we who appreciate the truth of justification by faith? You know, the whole no condemnation thing, apart from works of law. Well, it's easier and it's lighter than shrimp wrapped in bacon, washed down with whiskey.